This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern. My name's Tom Ward and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Ross.
Good evening, Wardy, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. How are things with you?
Yes, not too bad. Not too bad. Waiting for a signing to sort of, you know, yeah. Summer rolling, really.
But. Yeah, as I say, everyone's getting a little bit tetchy, you know, and it's that that stage of the season. Twitter's a bit of a mess with rumours.
It's silly season, isn't it? All the good work Mark Robbins has done, everyone forgets and thinks, oh, why have we not signed Messi yet, you know?
Exactly. But we're not here to talk about that this evening. Really pleased to say we've actually been joined by Dal Dillon, who is the owner and managing director of Dillon's Brewery, also the Spire Bar and, of course, the Sky Blue Tavern. Great to have you here, Dal. And, yeah, really appreciate you taking some time out to speak to us.
Thank you, Tom, Ross, for having me on. It's a pleasure to be joining you guys on the podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you here. And, you know, the main reason why we've got you here really is, for anyone who doesn't already, Sky Blues Extra has recently forged a partnership with the Sky Blues Tavern and with Dillon's, where we're ultimately going to be working together to bring the Sky Blue fans some really cool content, competitions, events, and more. So yeah, Dal, really pleased that we're going to be working together and hopefully some fun stuff going to be happening over the next few months.
Absolutely, looking forward to it.
So to kick things off then, Dal, obviously, you know, myself and I probably speak on the behalf of a lot of Coventry fans and people of Coventry might not know, you know, who you are in terms of as a person and your background and everything. So, I mean, obviously, it's maybe like a whistle stop sort of tour, just a bit about your background and where you're from originally and you know, all that sort of, you know, lovely stuff, you know, a bit about you, I guess.
So I was born in Greenwich in London back in the late 70s, and supporting teams, football, I would say originally a Man United supporter. My father came over in the early 60s to England, and I think he was kicked out of school, and I think all he ever saw on TV was Dennis Law or George Best. I think they were the first words he picked up from Punjabi to English, and we naturally all become United supporters. And then as we started to formulate our own opinions, we lived in Charlton, my dad used to take us to go and watch Charlton Athletic, and when we could afford it, went to go and see United now and again. But generally, as a family, we're just footballing fans. So went to go and see Arsenal when we get to see Arsenal, Charlton, England. Whatever opportunity we had, it was all about football at the end of the day and an appreciation of football players overall. So, yeah, great rivalry between all the great clubs, but you've got to give respect where respect's due. And so if the other team has a great player, you've got to give them the dues. So, and then when, you know, speaking of football teams, and when I came to Coventry in 2014, there wasn't the noise about football in the city wasn't massive, purely because they weren't around in terms of as much as they should be in the city.
Yeah.
And obviously moving away, playing away in Birmingham, obviously takes a little bit of the limelight away from the city itself. But ever since they've been back, it's been a massive foray. And I think naturally, with no sort of commercial element involved, myself and the rest of the team at Dillon's have become honorary Coventry City supporters. Yeah. And we're chuffed to bits being there. You know, we cry and sing based on the team's results. So we're completely besotted by
that's what we want to hear. I mean, I guess, 2014, I'm trying to think, Wally. I mean, that would have been Northampton, wouldn't it? It would have been Northampton. I think that was a toxic time. I think that sort of year when I think of the city and the people and the club. I think that was probably when it was one of its most sort of disconnected periods. But getting on back to your football, Dad, did you play football at all? What was your position?
So my dad used to play football, and only up until his early 20s, and he was a winger. Then my brother, much better football than myself, is sort of like used to play midfield up until used to play five-a-side and seven-a-side even up until recently. I've played since I was about 16 or 17. Never any good at it. Just really? I'd make a mess in the defensive midfield position. I think people were just happy with that, though. I think I did more of a messy Roy Keane role at the
Messy Roy Keane. Yeah,
very, very messy. Roy Keane right at the back, and I stopped playing actually about 18 months ago. I lost my ACL and MCL in an accident, and I haven't played since then. I've had the odd kickabout, but yeah, my aim is in the next year or so to get back to five-a-side or seven-a-side. But yeah, love football. Seriously, it's my favourite sport. My kids, the whole fam. It is what it is.
It's amazing. No, it's great. I mean, ACL and MCL were all in one hit.
Yeah, that is. It's not nice. It's not nice to say the least. And the worst thing is, you're out on all the morphine for the operation. It's a bloody rehabilitation afterwards, and it's still going. I'm 12 months post operation, and still plugging hard at it. End of the day, yeah.
I guess it's. You know, I can't imagine sort of. I mean, what was the, so it's what, like a year or so you had to sort of stop playing football. I mean, I guess it affects so much, not just the things you enjoy with like that, you know, I mean, it must be very difficult, you know, having.
It's hard because I think playing football, 87 and Woodlands and around places around Coventry, 2 to 3 times a week for several years. And that is where most of my fitness came from. And then suddenly to stop that, and then try and pretend to be a gym goer or something else. It's really hard. It's really hard to sort of try and adapt to a different type of exercise. Whereas football, it just doesn't feel like exercise because it's so much fun.
Yeah, you know, it's so true.
The banter is just, it's incomprehensible. It's just, you know, with the guys on the pitch at the end of the day, it's just like a laugh and a joke for a couple of hours rather than any form of exercise.
Yeah, so, it's weird. Sometimes, like, I've had it a couple of times where you track the stats when you played or whatever, and it's like, I've done 5K on the pitch, and you're like, if I just ran 5K in a straight run, I'd be bored out of my mind.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
5K on the pitch, you're like, oh, I don't even feel tired. Like, I'm ready to play another game kind of thing. So, you know, I know exactly what you mean.
It's disguised running, isn't it? You know, playing football or any sports.
You've got a purpose, right?
And then suddenly you find that extra burst of energy. You know, if you find yourself in a position to score a goal or something, you find that extra sprint that you wouldn't be able to find if I was just running from lamppost to lamppost or something on a big run. So no, I certainly agree about that. So obviously you love your football, big passion, and your whole family, big football sort of fans, and enjoy watching the game. And how about, obviously you're a businessman as well, so you got the sports side. When did you get into sort of your interest in business? You know, how did that start? And yeah, what's sort of the origins of sort of Dal the businessman?
Well, it's a little bit follows through from my father. My father kicked out of school at a very early age, and he had to be quite entrepreneurial to make a living for himself. And I think he was everything from a hod carrier. And he was like 16 or 17, ended up working in a gearbox factory down in Greenwich. And then slowly his entrepreneurial side took over, and he was a market trader. So seeing him go from one thing to another, from a market trader, he just bought a shop and turned it into a supermarket. From there, he went into beer wholesaling, supplying pubs and clubs, restaurants around London, beer. And I was just there, my brother and I were there for the journey with him. And we just saw him do his thing. And I've been working with him since I was doing my A-levels. And he asked me, he said, do you want to join the business after uni, or do you want to sort of go and do your own thing? I said, you know what? I live and breathe this stuff already, so let me do that. So I started selling beer when I left uni, and carried on doing that. Unfortunately, in the last recession back in 2008, we had to sort of close down due to economic conditions. And then I went off and did a few interesting piece of work, did a bit of recruitment, opened a recruitment company up, opened a social media company up, sold those off. But I had an itch to get back into the beer business. And I started doing, dipping my toe into running events, supplying all the beer for events. In the Asian wedding scene, we have very, very big weddings and a lot of beer and alcohol consumption. So I got into that initially. And then I thought, wouldn't it be nice to get the bride and groom their own personalized beer? Mm. And I thought, okay, I could dip my toe in the water here by having low costs and setting somewhere up in the Midlands rather than London, because London is a bit unforgiving. You can't make many mistakes and live to tell the tale in London, purely because the rents are so high, labor's so high. It's just the costs are extortionate. So pick the Midlands, a couple of hours drive from London, and set up the brewery on a small scale initially, just seeing how it goes, and then just carried on producing a beer. Yeah, carried on producing a beer, got a decent, very, very good head brewer involved, Pedro, got a good team, a chap called Gordon on board, our sales guy, Kevin, a number of people, too many to mention, and brewery went from strength to strength. And now we saw a number of opportunities pre-COVID, as in the link up with Coventry City, and a number during COVID as well. So it's just it's just having an eye for opportunities to come up and seeing we can capture them at the right time, really.
Amazing. Well, it's incredible, like you say, to see those opportunities. And I guess, so it sort of led on to my next question, is what made you choose, you said looking in the Midlands, what made you choose Coventry? What was the opportunity that you saw in Coventry for the brewery to start with?
Funny enough, truth be told, Coventry wasn't the initial destination. I think it's just kismet that I ended up being in Coventry. It really was just destiny, because I'm forging the relationships I have here and so forth. The brewery initially was going to be in Melton Mowbray, believe it or not.
Well, just funny enough, that's where I'm hoping to get my first house in Melton Mowbray, actually.
Right. Fantastic. Yeah. So what happened was, there was, so at the time, I'm not 100% certain about these things here, but the chairman of British Airways at the time, or former chairman, owns a lot of land in Melton Mowbray or around that area. And there was a sort of a derelict warehouse, which I was going to take on board. Went down, literally done all the paperwork. At the last minute, I just realized that it's just in the middle of nowhere. Because while doing the paper, I envisaged that maybe having a tap house, maybe this, maybe that. I thought, you know what? People are going to really struggle to get to this location, because it was in the middle of nowhere. So we sort of kindly passed that offer over, and I suddenly started looking. And I've already ordered the beer equipment, so I literally had only days to find a new place. So went online, went everywhere else, and then came across this unit in Coventry. Now, where we've moved to in Coventry, where our brewery is, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been there, know where it is. That site was pretty much dead as a doornail. It really was. The chap who showed the site to me left the keys with me the day I saw it and said, if you like it, just here's the keys, take it. We'll sort something out tomorrow. Because they literally wanted people on the site. Because this particular unit had been empty for years. It pretty much was like dead as a doornail around there. And yeah, I was happy with the terms and I took it. And in 2014, it was a moment we got the unit there and started moving brewery equipment in. Very, very small initial brewery equipment. But yeah, so Coventry was a bit of a fluke actually, but it's turned out to be a great opportunity. Really, really good opportunity overall.
Yeah, it's amazing really that how it worked out. I was going to say, I know you're there on match days, sort of, you know, welcoming people in and stuff. Yeah. I was just going to say, have you ever stood there and looked at all those fans and thought, do you know what? I'm glad I didn't go to Melton Mowbray.
Absolutely. But the funny thing was the stadium wasn't used, if I'm not mistaken. Things weren't as busy as they were back in 2014. So I didn't even consider the Rico at the time, as it was called. I didn't even consider the stadium there. Just purely looking at the site itself, didn't even consider any potential opportunities that could come from the stadium itself. That would have been a long shot. But as time's gone on and people have seen the value of our brand in the area, they've seen that we could be a real resource and a real sort of like totem pole for people to sort of approach and come to.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, that must have been a little bit of a stroke of luck as well, because you could have been anywhere in Coventry, right? And to be next to the football stadium, I guess, you know, when we returned, your mind sort of started, must have been thinking, right, there must be a big opportunity here, right? Because one of my points I was going to go on to, but might as well talk about now, was I think we've always said the match day experience hasn't been great in Coventry for Coventry fans. And, you know, I think obviously having the brewery and having the tavern, I don't know if you deliberately spotted it as a gap in the market or whether it was a bit of a fluke, but it feels like Dillon's have kind of been quite a big part of that sort of transition, improving that.
So as I said, being football fans ourselves, everyone at the firm's a football fan from almost one team to another, but genuine football fans, when we saw the negativity around the city about the views of the experience, the club, this, that, the whole match day thing, and you know how they have to travel this far or people aren't doing enough. We approached the club and said, look, you know, we think there's a gap in the market. There's an opportunity here to change things around. And yes, the risk will be on us rather than yourself. What do you think? And the club was super, super supportive. I mean, no question. It wasn't a case of we were there, you know, deliberating for eons. It pretty much was, yeah, sounds like a good idea. Let's go ahead with it. So when I hear stories about the club sort of taking a, you know, not doing right and all this kind of stuff, it hasn't been my experience. They've been very, very supportive and very encouraging with our ideas and forging this new relationship between club, experience of going to one of these venues and the supporters. It's just been very joined up thinking there. It takes time. It takes time. It's not perfect yet, but it's moving in the right direction, to say the least.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have probably got involved with the club at a time where things have got a lot better. I think we all feel like the communication and the community and the fan connection is a lot stronger and better than it used to be. Obviously, clearly being promoted to the Championship and being back in Cov is all going to help that. But I do feel like, you know, under Dave Boddy, the club feels like it's moving in the right direction. So I suppose, yeah, you guys obviously sort of come in at that time, which has been great. I was going to ask around, you mentioned obviously the brewery. Like, was it always just supposed to be a brewery? Like, or did you have ambitions of having bars in Coventry and bits like that? Or did that just come later on as you sort of grew?
So initially, I had no aspirations of having any bars. When I set the brewery up, I did some early construction in the unit and built a small bar in there, which we've got pictures of we've got pictures of it. It's tiny. I think the bar was like about, I don't know, 10 feet wide or something, and like 10 by 10 or something. It's tiny, purely for people to come and try all our ales. And also, as I said, a big part of the business is doing outdoor events, mobile bars, outdoor events and so forth. And we used to have people come in and test cocktails there. So it was always kept very, very small. But then when we started developing the tavern, we thought we need to sort of expand the brewery. And in regards to aspirations overall of bars, Not really. It's only when the opportunity arose where I saw a gap in the market and thought, okay, we could fill this gap, that we have the resources to do this, did I take it. But I mean, everyone wants to own a bar. How cool is it to own a bar? It's great. Everyone wants to own a bar. Everyone wants to
go. Cough theme bar. Cough City bar.
Yeah, well, that's my dream. Everyone wants to be involved in a bar and have a beer, this, that, and just chill out and relax into the day. So it's great. So, but it's finding the right opportunity. Plenty come up, but you've got to do your due diligence on it and see which one is worth taking.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you probably had a lot of challenges and stuff on the along the way, and probably things you've developed obviously and grown very quickly. What's been your biggest challenge so far?
So, in what sense? In the bars or Cobb City related? I mean,
I don't know. I just think when I look at obviously there's three bars in Coventry at the moment, right? And I think the Spire Bar, I think it's quite a bold bar to have set up, in especially where it's located. Then there's Dylan's, where you've had to actually build the place, right? Mm. And then there's the Tavern, where it's Cov themed throughout, and quite bold, So it's like, you must have hit some walls.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been challenges on several fronts, whether it's construction, financial, litigation. There's been loads of different challenges. But I think one of the things earlier on, and I think it's slowly, those barriers are coming down. It was tough to do business in Coventry being an outsider. I think that was a real challenge.
Interesting.
Being on the fringes of not knowing anyone, because I came here not knowing anyone, so I didn't have anyone to give me a leg up or anyone to ask for advice or anything. I didn't have any friends or family here initially, and so it was tough work, and everything had to be done right from the bottom upwards. So it was challenging. It's the city is not. I think things have changed now, but I think when I entered, it wasn't as friendly to do business with as it is now, probably. That's my thoughts. I think things could be easier if you're going to literally come from outside, from another city, and come put your heart and soul into it. I think Cov needs to show a little bit more love.
Yeah.
To people like that. Personally.
It does feel like obviously it is a big city, right? But it does feel like weirdly like one of those places where a lot of people know each other. And I can imagine if you had a mate at the council and a mate here and a mate at the club, it probably would have been easier. But
of course, 100%.
Like you say, you've got to start that from scratch, haven't you? So yeah.
That's right. And don't get me wrong, the journey now, I mean, yeah, lots of friends, lots of friendly faces. But it's been a lot of hard work getting there.
I guess it's that building those sort of contacts, coming from afar, coming in initially, it's a challenge. And I mean, I went to Coventry Uni before I went down to London for sort of drama school and stuff. I was at Coventry Uni, so that was 2012 to 2015. And when I actually think back to the drinking venues and what was actually available in the city compared to now, when I think of students going 10 years after I started, and you've got Dylan's Spire Bar and the Sky Blue Tavern and amongst loads of other things in Cathedral Lanes, all the new restaurants and everything, it's changed massively from when I went to uni. It was literally Harvester and the Three Wetherspoons, and that was basically and a Nando's, and that was the selection. So I guess seeing, the evolution of Dylan's as well as the city as a whole with all the new things that have come in, the new bars and everything. And then on top of that, seeing recently the Sky Blue Tavern. So you said, obviously, you approached the club and spoke to them about working together. Where was the initial idea for a Coventry themed bar? Because I remember that venue when I went there at uni was like another one of those all you can eat chains, the actual building where the tavern is. So to see it in its guise now is incredible. But whose idea was it to sort of do a Sky Blue themed bar?
So the idea to do the bar was mine, but it stemmed from us originally creating the Sky Blue Army can of beer for Cov City. We did that initially. A bit of a tragic tale, actually. I think it was back in March, February, we announced it, February 2020, February, March, and we were about to have a launch night at the brewery. We invited a load of supporters and all the players were supposed to come there. But then I think two or three days from that particular date, COVID was announced in a big way and said, no one's allowed. So obviously, naturally, Mark Rubens and the club stepped in and said, look, we can't have anyone down there. We completely respected that decision. And the supporters were encouraging and very resourceful in sort of turning up, being safe and sort of looking at the cans and trying the beer. So it didn't have the launch that we hoped it would have had. And it's been like that for a couple of years now. We haven't had the kind of support we needed. And then after we launched the beer, because we saw a good positive uptake from the supporters, even without the massive fanfare of launching it, I toyed with the idea with Dave Boddy and Tynan at the club and said, look, you know, what do you guys think about having a Cobb City themed bar? And they said, yeah, like the idea. They said it would be better if we are back in Cobb for that to happen. It would be embraced more warmly, that being the case. And I said, yeah, I agree with that. So I think back in 2020, we had those ideas and just thought about it. 2021 came, still deep in COVID. We only got the green light, I think, early part of last year, that, hey, listen, we could potentially do this, but we couldn't really start construction and do anything until we got the green light from the club that they were officially coming back. So when I was playing football, a good friend of mine, a chap called Sachin, his family owned that particular unit. And before it was even considered for the Sky Blue Tavern, he said to me, well, do you know, if you want to set up a bar in town, have a look at this unit. I had a look at it. This is before Sky Blue Tavern came on the horizon, probably about a couple of years ago. And I said, it's great. But I said, do you know what? I just don't think Dylan's is renowned enough to captivate an audience which is going to fill this place, because it's got quite a large capacity. I mean, you probably get 500-600 people in that place, not more. Yeah. And he said, well, have a look at it. I had a look at it. And then when the idea came up that we could potentially do a bar, I took the main guys down there from Cobb City, and they loved the place, purely because we could get the coaches in the back for away day travel, and it was a pretty prominent site with some space at the back for parking and so forth, whereas you don't really get that in Cobb generally. So started the construction and got it all finished within a few months. And the only one proviso I had from the management over at the club was, we need to call it Sky Blue Tavern. Any other name. Can't be called anything else. And I said, hey, I'm all over that. That's fine. Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Amazing. No, I mean, it's crazy, like you say, sort of about the initial idea. And I remember now, you know, the first sort of Sky Blue Army cans of lager and then suddenly, yes, because obviously it was the season we won League One, and obviously we were playing in Birmingham at the time. And I remember bringing out the League One winners beer as well. And then and then following that was the stout on the vanilla, which got all the Villa fans riled up, which was great to see. Living rent-free in their heads when they all were commenting, and we were like, it's nothing to do with you, you know. But but I remember all that. And then obviously the home and away kits, because it's I know COVID has that weird where it warps time, you know, that there was that second season in Birmingham, you know, the first year back in the Championship. It's sort of easy to forget that we weren't in Coventry and fans couldn't go. So you had that whole time as well of not being able to really sort of do anything.
Yeah.
So obviously the great news that we were announced that we were coming back to the city, and obviously then that acted as the green light for yourselves to sort of, you know, get the Sky Blue Tavern ready for, obviously the Nottingham Forest game was the target, the first game of the season. In creating it and you know, in terms of the internal designs of the tavern, is because it's incredible. I think any commentary fan has been, you know, all the memorabilia and everything. Who was that? Your creative design? Would the club have any impact on how they wanted it inside? Or how did that work?
So while constructing, while with the tavern coming along, in the background, we were just finishing off the Spire Bar, Dylan Spire Bar, which I'd managed to capture in November 2020, right in the heart of COVID. We had a very talented lady called Leanne, who has a company called Black Ivy Design. That she had some wonderful ideas for the Spire, and as that was drawing to a close, I said, "Look, what do you think about this CCFC themed bar?" And she was all over it, because obviously she's a Coventry lady herself, lots of supporters in her family and self and so forth. So yeah, she was all over it, and she came up with these wonderful designs. So that that place is completely transformed. So anyone who knew that venue prior to the Sky Blue Tavern opening up would tell you that it looks nothing like what it did before.
No, I think back to when I was at uni, it was just, it was this weird, I can't even, it's completely transformed, you know, and obviously, you know, then all those outdoor booths and everything. I mean, it's chalk and cheese to what it was.
Yeah. So it's, so the club had, we shared the ideas with the club through some mood boards and so forth initially. And they're happy with everything that we put forward. They put a few suggestions forward, which we took on board, and went from there. It was, really positive, really encouraging. And we tried to, I think the only thing that we didn't end up doing, which we did plan to do, was to draw out a football pitch upstairs in the upstairs function room. So on the first floor, our whole idea was to put like a mini football pitch in. But I think that's the only one thing we didn't manage to achieve in the tavern. Apart from that, pretty much it was all there.
I still have visions of a load of pissed up blokes trying to have a five-a-side game. Or recreating a goal from the game. That would have been a laugh.
Yeah.
Could have recreated, Dally could have done the donkey kick, you know, when launching the new donkey kick beer, you know, in the upstairs pitch.
Someone else could have, I would have definitely stayed away from that one, but I'm sure I could have convinced someone else to do that for us.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And you mentioned the upstairs function room, which is brilliant. And if anyone hasn't been, they definitely should go. And I was there for the Dave Boddy Q&A not long ago. It's a brilliant space upstairs, as is the whole of the tavern. But upstairs, you've got all the, a huge array of the sort of shirts and on the, you know, copies of the sort of programs on the pillars and everything. How did you go about sourcing all this, all the shirts and things like that?
So we put some feelers out on social media and said that if anyone has any memorabilia they'd like to sell, more than happy to take it off their hands, and bought that off people. Some people approached us privately and said, look, you know, we've got things that no longer we have space for. Would you like to buy it off us? And a little bit of work on going on eBay and people selling old bits and so forth. We do have some interesting stuff actually that we haven't put on display yet. We're going to sort of build another case. There's some valuable things that we have, former medals and all sorts in there, which we will put up at some point, just in a slightly more secure fashion somewhere in there. Because really, I haven't put those facades and guards up in the bar because I want people to feel that it belongs to the supporters. I don't want to put these high rise or massive, you know, metal sort of frames where people can't look at something carefully and all this kind of stuff, because it's a lot of detail. If you look at the old programs, the old pictures and everything, magazines, there's detail and people want to go really up close and look at them. I don't want to put those sort of massive guards in front. So therefore a little bit conscious about what we put up, what we don't put up, but it's for the fans and I want them to enjoy everything that's there. So it's come from all sorts. I think people, we bought shirts. I mean, we bought dozens. And I mean, I think from the initial sort of purchase, I think we still got about 30 or 40 shirts that we haven't put up yet. We just don't have the space. So maybe we'll have a revamp in a couple of years and put a load in other shirts up in the future. Yeah.
No, well, it certainly does. The whole of the tavern does look incredible. And I think the fans, you know, have certainly sort of took to it. And I know, Wardy, you're the same as me. We thoroughly have enjoyed ever since it opened going to the games. It's been a cracking atmosphere, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to say, I know we sort of talked, Dal, about it, you know, what the vision for it now. And I guess, obviously, it clearly is a match day hub. It's a place where people will gather before and after games. But I know you're keen on it also being a non-match day hub and actually it should be for anyone in Coventry, right? And it's a great place to watch football. It's a great place to, it's got a good community feel to it. So I guess, yeah, what is the sort of vision for the tavern sort of moving forwards?
So I would say first and foremost, I want it to be a really, really positive drinking spot. And then we can then branch off to, it's a sports bar. There's no taking away from that. It's a sports bar and day where we, you know, I think we pay literally a small fortune to the television providers out there with all the sort of different companies that we sort of help prop up in day. So it's a sports bar. It's got all the sports there. The food's fantastic. We launched a new menu there for the food. So it's got massive new Indian mixed grill menu, which is working fabulously. So it's a drinking spot. It's a place where you can go and meet up your friends, relax, play a bit of FIFA, sit on the couches, watch the football, and be there to your heart's desire. So in terms of football fans and Coventry City fans, yes, it's their home. It needs to be their home, and we want it to be their home. We are open to all suggestions for people coming down. I've just seen the inbox the other day. We've got sort of dozens of inquiries, people doing their football presentations down there and doing christenings and wedding parties and so forth, because people are starting to see that it's there to stay. It is part of the community, and we want it to be part of the community because it belongs to the city. That's why we've done it. I mean, I recognise that from not being here. So if I was I hope to be a proper Coventrian one day, but I'm saying if people from here, proper Coventrians, see it, I want them to feel like happy that, you know what, that someone's come here and put this, I mean, it's a dream for some people to put this sort of place together. You know, we need to use it. It needs to be used. People need to come down, see it and feel the atmosphere.
Yeah, feel definitely. The love. Yeah, I think when me and Ross were in the other week, we sat there and I said to Ross, I was like, you could have dreamt this. I could wake up and go, mate, I woke up this morning and someone had created a Coventry City themed bar. And you'd be like, nah, that's just silly, isn't it? But I think it is genuinely a dream come true for some people, for sure. Another point I wanted to raise was, obviously, we know you've got a relationship sort of with the club. And I think it's a really important one for, obviously, the listeners and the fans to know about that. And, you know, to know that, I guess, when they're drinking in the tavern, in the Dillon's sort of pubs, that obviously is going towards supporting the club. Because I think fans buy their season tickets, but they're always looking for ways of how they can support the club. So, yeah, interested in sort of, you know, how that relationship works and sort of how important that is.
So there's there is a number of revenue streams from all of my units, products and services that go towards CCFC overall. So for every can of beer that's bought, Coventry City themed beer, and for every Coventry themed pint of beer, whether it's a can or a pint or any sort, it goes back to the club. The Sky Blue Tavern overall, we pay a royalty to the club to be associated with it. It's all a very expensive but fruitful exercise for everyone involved. So I think the supporters need to understand that we're a new business when it comes to that, and we are supporting the club as much as we can, and hopefully in many, many in future years to come as well. But we are financially helping and assisting in moving the club forward.
Which makes sense, I guess, because I guess for you guys, the better the club do, the better you do, right? I mean, like we just mentioned about match days at Dillon's, like, I can't believe how many people were down there. I think it was the last game of the season. It was absolutely packed out. And clearly, you know, the better the club do, the better results. If we do get to the Premier League, then it's only going to do better for you guys as well, right? So it just makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. So it's and we've learned. It's been a journey from the beginning of the season up until the end, because I think we really were sort of testing the waters initially. We didn't know exactly how to sort of behave or what the fans wanted initially, because we just didn't have time. It was such a short space of time between getting started and getting finished for the season starts to find out exactly how we were to conduct ourselves and what the fans wanted from a match day experience, whether it's at the tavern or the brewery. So to give you an idea, at the beginning of the season, I think at the brewery we had maybe a turnaround of maybe a couple of hundred people on a match day. Towards the end of the season, the last five or six games of the season, that turnaround was thousands of people during the course of a day, because it is the place to go. I mean,
yeah,
we've got an amazing DJ there.
I was about Paul to say, are you, talking about decisions over the years, I think signing DJ Big Smithy's mm-hmm. probably got to be up there, right? That must have made a big difference.
Smithy is such a great character. He's such a good lad. I mean, even though he's a Blue Nose supporter, Birmingham Six Boys.
Is he even anymore? Just, he seems like more in Cough these days.
Yeah, he is. Well, you've got to see, you see his T-shirts we get him to wear. He's a really big character, and he's very, very supportive of us as a brand, the venues, and supporters. He loves it. Mm. And the supporters see it, and they feel it themselves, because the singing, the chanting you get on a match day down the brewery, it's electrifying.
So we've never had that. That's why. I mean, obviously, the reason it came about, weirdly, was because we obviously went to Birmingham and he was the DJ in the Roost, which was a really popular pub. But we, even when we were back in Cov before, we never had like a DJ, like someone who just gets you pumped for match days.
We never had anything, though, Wardy, did we?
No,
we literally had the one bar in the Rico at the time.
Yeah.
Because the other bar that's there was the old club shop. So you had literally the pubs down Longford Road, and the whole match day experience was dissolved and the Dillon's Breweries just brought that back better than it. I'd say one of the best match day experiences. You know, I've been to several away games. You go to a lot, Wardy, than that I've seen. It is incredible down the
brewery. And away fans comment on it as well. I mean, the amount of stuff I see on Twitter of people like, you know, you've got your own theme bar, you've got like a cool sort of venue to go to. Yeah, I think it's definitely quite unique. I was going to admit, you obviously touched on the new menu at the tavern. Ross and I have been lucky enough to taste it out and obviously really enjoyed it. I guess a couple of questions, like one, like why did you decide to change it? I think it was obviously a super positive move, but what made you do that? And yeah, just to sort of, yeah, tell us a bit more about that menu.
So not having a sports bar prior in any prior business, I just assumed that the whole wings, burgers, fries thing was the way to go when it comes to sports bars, because I was imagining theme bars in America, which I've been to, and I thought maybe we will capture that spirit in forming the Sky Blue Tavern. And it's what I found was several months into it is that we're just competing with every other place around the butts and around town. It's the same old. So why does someone want to come and sit down and enjoy burgers, wings and chips? Well, really, they can have it for a third of the price from one of the takeaways around the corner. So it just doesn't make sense. So I was planning to do this for over 6 months now. I was just trying to find the right people to bring into the kitchen to make this this plan and put it into fruition, make a reality out there. And we've had the chefs in 6 weeks prior to going public. Purely, we wanted to make sure that it all tastes good. It passed all the taste tests from everyone around, foodies and so forth, before we went to market. And yeah, it's been a really, really joyous occasion for us to see that people are coming in and putting so many positive comments forward about the cuisine. So it was just different, because it's getting involved in doing the whole burgers, wings and chips. There's nothing wrong with that, but it needed something different to capture the market. And that's why I went down this route.
I mean, there's definitely three things that go hand in hand. There's definitely curry, beer and football. So I think you definitely sort of captured that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For sure. I think like your wings and burgers, people can maybe get a bit sick of, but yeah. You can't turn away a mixed grill and a pint and watching the football. Really.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Well, but I mean, the food though, and we're not, you know, Wardy will agree. It's incredibly, everything about it, the curries, everything, it's so flavoursome. You know, I've been to, you know, several of the sort of, you know, traditional curry houses, you know, in Coventry, you know, Akbar's, Turmeric Gold, all sorts around. I think the curry, which I've had it several times now and various things. You've got the sort of Indian tapas-y type of stuff. And if you've got big groups, if you've got the Sky Blue Mega Mix grills and all sorts, that the flavor of it is genuinely, it's amazing. Like it is. And if anyone hasn't been down, they definitely should, because it isn't just like a bog standard sort of curry. You were saying Punjabi sort of inspired the flavors and everything. I think I remember you saying on the taster night, that was that flavor inspiration is what you were going for.
Absolutely. We, the the chefs we have, we've got several chefs in the kitchen and assistants, and the chefs are veterans and they have been working in Coventry for over a decade each, and they really do know the market. So when they put their thinking caps on, they said, well, these are the best sellers that we've worked on in the past, and here's some new stuff, and let's put it all together. And I said, we did a lot of tasting, a lot of testing, a lot of pounds and kilos were put on and beers were drunk basically to make sure that we find the right combination of items to put on their menu. And so as I said, we've had some really, really rave reviews, which we're absolutely chuffed with. And we're just trying to make sure that we maintain those high standards moving forward.
I suppose it probably helps to be like a beer or a brewer for that. Because obviously when you put a beer out, you obviously have to do a lot of tasting and you have to really fine tune what you're putting out, right? So I guess if you're applying that to food, then you're going to get it right, aren't you, in the end? So I guess having that mentality as a brewer has probably helped with the food, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Our head brewer loves the food down there. And he can pretty much go through the menu and tell you which one of our beers we should be drinking with each wow. item to complement the flavor of the beer and vice versa. So that's something we will probably, our menu will probably change again in the next few weeks to actually put that into action where we demonstrate that.
Well, I was going to say, because on the menu, there's a couple of certain dishes where the Ghost Town Lager is prompted as you know, the recommended one, and the Sky Blue Army Lager for another. And that leads me on to what I want to talk about, really, the beers, you know, the brewery in general. And obviously, you've got, you know, the variety and sort of selection of Coventry City unique beers is sort of recently expanded again. Tell us a bit about, you know, the different Coventry City beers, and obviously, you know, including the most recent one, which was the Donkey Kick, which was announced, you know, just a few weeks ago.
Well, the talking about the Donkey Kick actually won a silver medal in the National Beer Awards only a couple of weeks ago, and we are still yet waiting for our certificate to come through so we can actually put it online to just to give show the fans that, you know, one of their beers has won a silver medal today, which we're absolutely
exclusive
chuffed
on the pod.
we're absolutely chuffed about that's been the case. The so all the beers that we've produced for CovC are all fantastic beers, and then there's different ones. I mean, like the Donkey Kick is a very, very unique beer. It's a Weissenbock beer, very strong, bit of a kick. Not necessarily the Donkey Kick, but a bit of a kick when it comes to that. The Sky Blue Army is a super duper beer that can be drank all day long. Session beer, a little bit strong for a session beer, just under, you know, around about the 5%, but it's there. Same thing with the Cobb City kit beers. They're a different type of beer as well. It's not all the beers are going to be for everyone, but what we found is that the Sky Blue Army is a super beer which people can drink all day round, and that's one of our best-selling beers at the tavern and at the brewery, full stop. Really? The other ones we've had to create with a bit of a twist, all welcomed. As I said, you know, it's just won a silver medal, and so can't be that bad. It's they're all quite unique in their offerings. I mean, a lot of the people don't drink the kit beers. They want to keep them as souvenirs and so forth, but there's great tasting beer in it. So whenever you buy one, make sure you buy two, one to keep and one to taste it in a day. But it's they're and we'll produce more. I mean, like the SOTV one just came up after a bit of a Mickey taking sort of a competition between different rival clubs and so forth, and we brought out SOTV, and it's a good beer. People like it.
Yeah.
People like it, and people are, so we're at the tail end of it. We actually had to make a couple of batches because the first one sold out so quickly, and we were just going to make a special edition one-off batch, but we got so many orders for it, we had to make another batch. So we're at the tail end of it now, and people are saying, look, you know, we want to buy more. So once it finishes off now, I think it's at the tail end, we won't produce another SOTV, maybe for a few more years down the line. We might do it then. But some of these beers are special edition ones, the same as the Donkey Kick. I mean, like, we are down. The Donkey Kick is probably going to run out in the next few weeks, so we probably will make an announcement that whoever wants some, grab it before it goes, because it will go. Same thing with the kit beers. The kit beers, again, special edition beers, they will fly out. The only one that's there to stay is a Sky Blue Army beer, because it is the home. I mean, it is the banner for CCFC and Dylan's.
That's amazing. It's brilliant. I mean, and I've tried a lot of them, and they are all different. So as you say, you know, and as a, I enjoy my beer, but it's great to have that variety, isn't it? And then not just the Coventry City ones, but even the Coventry themed ones, the Ghost Town Lager. I love that.
Absolutely.
I think that's such a, that's a brilliant, really light beer. And again, you could have that. I love having a lot of those on a match days. And then I remember having the Spire Lager, which in contrast, that's quite strong as well. And that's absolutely a darker, deeper color. And tell us about a couple of the Coventry ones as well.
So, Spire, we was produced specifically and exclusively for the Spire bar. So that is not sold anywhere else. We don't produce it in cans. We don't even sell it at the brewery. It's purely for the Spire and for people that are at the Spire. And it sells really well, super, super well. I mean, it's one of our best-selling beers down there. It's a very strong beer. But I think we produced that beer in the style that we did to honor what was there before, because the venue before was into very crafty Belgian European style beers, all strong beers and so forth. And it was made to honor that rather than creating the standard sort of lager at 4% or something. We did something a little bit special in honor of what was there before. Now, in regards to the Ghost Town, when we first produced it in 2020, won a gold medal in Asia for its lager. We haven't actually put it forward for a lot of awards in the UK yet, yeah, which we will do. But yeah, it's a great, yeah, great lager. It's one of our, again, overall as a company, it's one of our best selling ones, Ghost Town. Not just for its affiliation towards the two-tone era of Coventry, but really the taste of the lager, it's very unique. And it's a session lager, which people can easily drink 2, 3, 4, 5, you can run how many pints you like of it.
Yeah.
Random question. Sorry, Russ. I was going to say, just while you were saying that, like, do you get orders from all over the world? Because obviously there's going to be expats. And like, I mean, I live in London, or I order the stuff. But like, how diverse is the sort of the places where you're getting orders from?
So that's something we're having a little bit of trouble at the moment. We have, funny enough, got orders from about over 20 different countries around the world.
Wow.
Unfortunately, alcohol and the way it is, our providers are struggling to get it over there. So we're actually working to maybe move to a different transport company where they can do the hard work for us for allowing alcohol to be transported. But I mean, I've seen the emails myself. We've had people in Japan after it, Australia, South Africa, several places in America, quite a few places in Europe. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, when I saw that email from Japan and then another one from China, they want the Cop City Bear. I was flabbergasted. This is fantastic. This is bigger than I first imagined. There is a venue, if I'm not mistaken, it's either Australia or South Africa. I can't remember exactly which one it was now. They wanted the draft beer because they went to put it on a tap because they've got a bar there honoring a lot of Cop City supporters.
Wow.
So I would say over the next 12 months, it will get to a point where it will be delivered around the world, whether it's in keg format or in cans.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And you spoke about, you know, the sort of inspiration for the certain types of beer, the Spire Lager, you know, and that sort of Belgian influence, etc. I mean, what's the process of, you know, when you're coming up with these beers, are you there sort of tasting, as you said, you've got your head brewer at the brewery. I mean, what's the sort of general process, and do you have an idea of, you know, how you want it to go when you're creating these new beers?
As much as I'd like to tell you that it's a really sophisticated process and we all sit around and have these massive brainstorming sessions, it's not. It's like someone's having a cup of tea and I think, wouldn't that be great if we did a beer like this? And all we have to do is go and tell the brewer, and the next thing you know, about 5 days later, we're saying, oh, what's that cooking? Oh, that's a new beer that you spoke about the other day. And that's it. Because Pedro, our brewer, is a very, very smart guy when it comes to the brewing mechanism, and he knows everything back to front. I mean, like, he's a chef. He's a very, very skilled chef, and he knows what to put in to get the right flavors, and he's very in tune with the market. So he knows the kind of trends that are going to be coming up in the future, and he'll know what people will take and what they won't. And because we put some funky ideas in the past, and he said, no, it's not going to work. I mean, we've had people approach us and they want us to make a beer which is CBD infused. They want us to make a beer which is ginger or this or that and so forth at the end of the day. And some work, some don't work. But the ones that we've made for our core range, we had to make the best of the best. But we will flutter with ideas as and when they come across.
And another beer that came out not too long ago, which I saw, you know, it was teased on social media around the city of Coventry, the pineapple flavours, the Pine For You. That's another strong one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a really good one. I think that was that came up as one of these sort of like, you know, someone's having a cup of tea and say, oh, we need to try a different flavour. We haven't had a flavour for a while. Okay, let's try pineapple. And we created the Napa New England IPA flavoured. So that's got hops from the US. And yeah, it worked out really well. Really well, really good response and feedback. And you need to mix it up. As a craft brewery, which we are, everything we make is by hand. So there's no mechanical automated processes. Pedro's got to stand there and be there throughout the whole brewing process.
Wow.
So a brewing day typically starts from early in the morning to late in the evening. And he's pretty much doing that 5 days a week. It's a process that's done by hand. So don't get me wrong. There is a marginal difference with every batch of beer, but it's so marginal. You couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell the difference in there because it's so marginal, but it's done by hand. That's hence we're a craft brewery, and we will come up with interesting beers like Napa and others in future years to come.
And that's all part of the charm as well. You know, the whole idea that it's done by hand and these craft beers, and they are incredible. And you sort of touched on it, but are there more sort of Coventry beers on the horizon? Any plans for ones come up in the foreseeable future?
So we've got a couple in the pipeline right now, which will be released, I think, in the next couple of months. We've got a very low ABV lager coming out. We're still toying with a name on that one. It's going to be mini something or tiny something, because I think it's only about 1.2% or something. So nice. That is for probably for the designated driver of the day.
Is that for people recovering from donkey kick?
maybe. Two donkey kicks and one of those. So it's so we've got that being released. We're also looking at a potential cider, which we might do in collaboration with another brewery in the very near future too. So, but at the moment, the brewery's pretty much working at full pelt just to keep up demand with our core range. I think we will have this one low ABV one being launched soon, and probably have another new one maybe by September.
Exciting stuff. We'll definitely look forward to hearing about
absolutely
about coming out.
Absolutely.
I guess sort of final point for me really was just sort of what's the future. Obviously, you mentioned there's going to be plenty more beers coming out, but there's obviously the three bars at the moment, but you know, what are the plans? Can we expect to see more of Dylan's around Coventry?
So we have another venue which we work very closely with, which is Draper's Bar. So we've got Dylan's at Draper's Bar. Draper's is a beautiful venue which is just at the back of the Metropolis restaurant, and we're busy working with Coventry Historical Trust to develop that place, to turn it into more of a place where people come on the regular, not just to listen to music and functions and so forth. So I think keep an eye out for that. Keep your ear to the ground. I think there'll be lots of exciting things happening around there. And we've got some interesting stuff happening at the Spire Bar in the near future as well. We're just working and focusing on these and trying to make these four venues that we have really good, hospitable, and make it a great experience for all our customers, new and old. I think that's Coventry saturated for us, unless we increase the city limits by another few miles, then we look at something else. But no, I think that's good for us in what we have there. It's just trying to give the best experience we can to everyone that comes along, and always looking to improve. I think we've got some interesting stuff at the brewery happening for the new season, as like we've got the shuttle bus working on match days between the tavern and the brewery. That'd be great for people who don't fancy taking an Uber or the train or the bus and so forth. They can just go to the tavern, have a beer, and jump onto a bus, which would be running.
That's probably something we should have brought up. Actually, that's a really interesting point. Is that, am I right in thinking that's a free service for next season?
It's a free service. there may be a 99 pence charge, but we're trying to avoid that. But it would be pretty much free. We're just trying to work out with the insurance company and the vehicle itself. The vehicle's going to be owned by us. It's going to be completely branded Sky Blue Tavern. Amazing. We are hoping to have some commercial shots done with it, with the players and so forth before the season starts. But that'll be a great addition to the city. I mean, imagine match days. Right. I mean, I was just thinking about it myself. Imagine match days, you're driving to the stadium and suddenly you've got a minibus with like 20 odd people saying Sky Blue Tavern, CCFC, and like really G'ing up and say, like, yeah, come on, let's do this. I think it'll be electric for people around at the end of the day. So it's literally going to run back and forth all day long.
I mean, selfishly, like obviously I come from London, so it's ideal. I mean, we like to sort of stop off at the tavern for a pint or two, you know, because it's close to the station, and then it's just nice to be able to, and then do Dylan's as well before kickoff. Dylan's is so convenient. So I definitely think transport will be a big help for people next season, for sure.
Yeah, and with all the COVID restrictions now sort of died off in the EFL, we will have, for certain, far more player appearances and club representatives coming to speak to supporters at the tavern and at the brewery in the coming season. But as the season draws closer to its initiation, we'll have more news on that, and which we can sort of share with you guys and the fans.
Yeah, amazing. So a lot to look forward to, I think, for next season, by the sounds of it.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Wow. That's all we've got time for this evening. That's been thoroughly enjoyable. I've certainly learned a lot about Dylan's, about beer, about you, Dal, which has been really enjoyable. So I just want to say thanks on behalf of the listeners for giving us a bit of your time, really.
No, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate you having me on board.
Yeah, no worries. And listeners, do make sure that you are following Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery on their social media pages. And do look out for some very exciting competitions and content coming up very soon. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation, then all you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.